Grading.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, man. A lot buzzing around me, a lot going on, a lot of it good, some of it bad. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
I got some good news real quickly. Throw that up there for me. Throw Declan and us up there real quick. He came home yesterday. We had no idea. Michelle, how many, I was going to write it down. I didn't write it down. I don't think I did. Declan has been in the hospital 47 days, 47 days. And, you know, the whole issue has been he wasn't absorbing his food, but all of a sudden this weekend he started gaining a little bit of weight. And Maggie and Isaiah went in yesterday. Well, actually, Maggie went in to visit him, feed him yesterday, which is what they do. And doctor said, well, you want to take him home? It's like, what? You want to take him home? Yeah, we want to take him home. Nobody had any idea that it's going to get him. Spencer, can you throw that picture up there for? Is it on the screen, brother? Okay, I'm not seeing it on my screen because I'm not seeing it on my screen. So that's Michelle and I when we found out that he was coming home, fearfully and wonderfully made. I was kind of paranoid showing this picture because it looks like I got my great big belly showing. I hope it's the way I'm sitting on a sunken couch. That's an excuse anyway. So there's Michelle holding little Declan, and fearfully and wonderfully made, 47 days. Now, listen, I want you guys to think about this. Well, some of you don't know this. In the after show, Dale Socia prayed for a miracle. But that little guy would, enough already, get that little guy out of there. When, as I said, when Maggie walked in yesterday about 11 o'clock to feed him and take him home. It's a hospital. She has to drive about 40 minutes to the hospital every day, spend all day over there just in this little box holding this little guy and taking care of him. And she walked in there, and the doctors came in and said, hey, you gained some weight last night. You want to take him home? So she about fell out of her chair. She was sitting down, and she called her husband real quick, and he came over, and they called us, and there's the end result. There's that little guy fearfully and wonderfully made. And Betty, my wife, said specifically, she knows how much you've been praying for others. There I go. Once I say one name, I got to say another one. She said, she mentioned you in particular and wanted to make sure that you knew that that little guy was home and gaining weight and 47 days. Think about that, folks. 47 days. His oldest cousin, Reese, got to hold him yesterday. His own family members, his three sisters, are all at the other grandma's this weekend. And so, you know, to help Maggie out. So they haven't seen him. So there'll be a reunion there this weekend. And we just thank all of you, all of you who, you know, hey, listen, every one of us, you can take that picture off there now, Spencer. Every one of us, man, I was thinking as I was coming down here, there's all hell's breaking loose around all of us, isn't it? You know, I feel a bit guilty sometimes that you guys would all pray for me when you're bearing your own burdens and crap's going on around you, crap's flying everywhere in your own lives. And feel kind of selfish to think you would all pray for us when we don't get the opportunity to reciprocate. But
it's a privilege to pray, Chris.
It is. I understand that. But still, man. So, yay in our house today, huh? Yay in our house. Thanks to all of you who have been praying and lifting up little Declan. And God's faithful, isn't he? God's faithful. You know, we're living in, we all know that we're living in unbelievably crazy, crazy times. And I'm really focused on something this morning that I think is going to be really, really critical for us as we all move forward here. And that's courage. courage. I think we're really moving into some days that are going to require abnormal courage. I don't know of a better way to do it, better way to say it. Some of us right now we're still in the training mode. You know, we think it's courageous to go stand up and speak at a school board meeting. It takes courage to do that. That really isn't very courageous, is it? I mean, really, when it gets right down to it, you know, somebody's destroying the future of your grandchildren. Does it really take courage to go say, wouldn't that just be something that a normal person would go do?
Amen.
Go stand up for their children? You would think so, right? But through the power of intimidation and fear and laws and legalism and police, and it takes courage just to do the basic things that we know to be right. But we're going to need it more and more and more. So I really want to kind of focus on the idea of courage this morning. I got some great stuff to show you. And to understand that there are probably, there's probably no probably to it. The most courageous man or person to ever walk the earth was Jesus Christ himself. And every area of courage that was required. Hang on, I got to plug. Bear with me a second. I got to jump up. I just realized if I don't unplug this, my power's going to go off. Forgot to do it this morning. Bear with me. Oops, there, I did that. In every area of progress, I don't care whether it's a sporting event, I don't care what it is, at some point, someone has to be courageous. Somebody has to make the play.
Amen.
Now, a lot of times, the greatest plays that turn around a football game are made by guys who, when they went into the game, their plan wasn't to be the hero. Their plan was to go in there and just block or just tackle or just do their job, right? But if we prepare ourselves, the situation will come upon you. If you are ready and prepared, the opportunity for greatness is going to come upon every one of you. The opportunity to stand up and speak up and do the right thing, where most people will not have the courage to be able to do it. And that's really where we are. We look at what's going on in the culture and the society. And I saw today somebody sent me a text. They want to now mandatory vaccines of children. What kind of man would allow that to be done to his children? I'm serious. What kind of man would allow them to do that to one of your children? Folks, you do know this, don't you? That the survival rate among children, actually just the whole idea of getting the whatever this thing is, this COVID thing, the survival rate's like almost 100%. Like it you don't get it, folks. You don't get it. We don't get it. They don't get it. And yet they want to be able to vaccinate our children. And to think that they would even get past step one with it. Well, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And I have a theory on it. And my theory is this, that the left, the devil, is so losing. Hang on. See, this goes against our theology, doesn't it? See, our theology tells us the devil's winning. That's what the theology tells us. That it's going to get worse and worse. And then it's going to get so bad.
Amen, coach. Amen.
That Jesus is going to come and rescue us really brave Christians. He's going to rescue us out of here. See, listen, if I was really a brave Christian, I would probably be dead before Jesus got here. Can somebody say amen? Can somebody say amen like that? If I was really and truly a brave Christian, I would probably be dead before the rapture ever occurred.
Amen.
Because at some point I'd stand up and say, no more. No more. Not to my family. Not to my children. Not to my grandchildren. No more. No, 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 no. And there would be some consequences to it, right? Instead, our mentality is just the opposite. I've actually heard a pastor one time say, things are getting bad, but that's good. Things are getting bad, but that's good. And why are they good? Because it's closer to the return of Jesus Christ. That's what he says. Now, you'll think I'm crazy. What if we just said, let's organize some hit people and let's start going into churches and just shooting people so they can go be with the Jesus if that's really what they want to do? Let's just go help them. Let's create our own rapture. See, Right Wing Watch is going to pull. They'll use something like that. They don't understand tongue in cheek, right? But if dying and being raptured and going to be with Jesus is such an exciting thing, then why aren't we helping people do it? If we really love them, why don't we go around and why don't we do it? Go in our church.
We ask the same question, Coach.
I mean, the Bible says greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Well, then why don't I go in and kill a bunch of people and lay down my life and let them put me to death, right? See, it's absolute foolishness, the way that our theology has evolved. And I tell people all the time, what kind of grandpa leaves this mess to his grandkids? I'm going to be 69 on the 26th day of November. I'll be 69 years old. And I've said over and over and over and over, I have what, 11 years? Do I have 11? Will I see 80? Will I get lucky and see 85? If I see 85, that's 16 more years. Little Declan won't even be 16 years old when I die. What? And I'm living my life trying to hang on to these last 16 years at the expense of his future? What is wrong with us, Christians? What's wrong with us? Where did this idea of cowardice, where did it come from? That's what I want to focus on today, if you bear with me. By the way, Mason, Ohio, hand clap to Mark Harrington and Candace Keller and all the others I know have been working down there. Little Mason, Ohio, which is down by Cincinnati, last night voted 4-3 to be a sanctuary city for the preborn. No abortions allowed in Mason, Ohio. That's a victory. That ought to spread all across the land. Take some courage. But I want to focus on courage today. I really do. In fact, Spencer, first thing I want you to... God, I got a lot to talk about there. First thing I want you to pull up, Spencer, is it says... Where is it, brother? I'm sorry. The third thing down, Christianity. 71 verses about courage. 71 Bible verses about courageous. And we are most unlike Jesus when we're cowardly, when we're fearful. We're most unlike him. He rewarded courage. He always rewards courage. How do I know that? Because he says this, go ye into all the world and I'll be with you. Why does he say that he'll be with you? Because he knows it's going to be scary. He knows it's going to be fearful. He says, go ahead, man, I'm with you. It's like a father pushing his kid onto a ride and the child's up at a fair, at a carnival, and the child's afraid, and dad says, "Don't, I'll be right here. Go ahead, I'll be right here." And the child has that confidence in daddy, that daddy's going to be right there. Well, the Lord says, "Hey, go, I'll be with you. I'll be right here." Well, why would he have to tell you he's going to be right here if there isn't some fear involved with what you're getting ready to do? He knows that going into all the world, it's going to be scary. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be strong. Be of good courage. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Go into those dark places. Go do those difficult things. I'm going to be back here and I'm going to be clapping. I'm going to be applauding you as you do it. And as you go do that, then you build more and more and more and more and more courage. And we rarely talk about courage outside of personal courage for our own. Oh, he was so brave the way he fought that cancer. Oh, he was so, well, yeah, that's a different kind of bravery, friends. You have to be brave to fight cancer because you got it. What are you going to do? Give up on it? That's a different kind of bravery. And I'm not making fun of anybody that's gone through that. But the real bravery is to go stand up to power and speak truth. That's what requires real bravery. And you cannot find, Christians. Oh, you find some. Jeff Klein's making all kinds of enemies up there in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Because they go and they see him come and say, oh my God, here that guy comes. And the church doesn't get behind Jeff and what he's doing because they're complicit. See, they're cowardly as well. Come on, can we get down to the nub of it? People are afraid to lose their stuff. They're afraid to lose their stuff. Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament from jail. He was constantly losing his stuff. Where do we become so cowardly? Come on in, Bernie.
Coach, I'm sorry. I break my hand walking down my phone, but right. You're absolutely that's right. But keep going. You're on a good point.
I'm going to. Thanks. Okay, so I want to play this up. Pull up the row. Wait a minute. We're right here. Scroll down through here, Spencer. 71 Bible verses about courage. Fear not. Hang on. Somebody said that there's 360 some references to fear not in the Bible. That's good. But how do you fear not? The only way you fear not, folks, is through courage. If you're afraid, the only antidote to fear is courage. It's the only antidote. Nothing else will stop it. And so Isaiah says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength, my defense. He's become my salvation. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave. Why would he go with you if it wasn't scary? It has to be scary in order for courage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. You take stand against the devil's scheme. Struggle's not against flesh and blood. Put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then. Right? Go on and on and on and on. 71 or however many it is. Be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. Be courageous. There's no temptation has overtaken you except common to man. God's faithful. Not let you be tempted beyond what you can stand with the temptation. He will provide a way out. He's always with you. You can do it. You can do it. You can push through. Go ahead. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their faces. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves, NIV. Be on your guard. Be handed over to local council and be flogged in the synagogues. Don't worry about this. I'm with you. Keep going. Do. Go. 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 Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. The wicked flee, though no one pursues. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. David said to Solomon, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord my God is with you. Go on, dude. Keep going. Go, go, go. Go be strong. Take all heart. All who hope in the Lord, go. Keep moving, man. Go. The Lord's with you. Overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid. Just believe. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So do not fear. I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. On and on and on and on. Why are we so cowardly? Why is the church so cowardly? Why are individual Christians so cowardly? Can I tell you why I think it is? It's because we don't see it modeled. We don't see, fear is contagious, but so is courage. Courage is contagious. We don't see many examples of it.
Amen, God.
This is really good today. I don't know if you're picking up. It's good for me. I'll show you a video real quickly from Matt Tuella. I love Matt. Why Christians Must Fight. It's just a little 4-minute video of Matt Tuella. Can I tell you something? Mainstream Christianity hates Matt Tuella. Not only do the government hate him, but other churchmen, as he calls them, churchmen, they hate Matt Tuella. They hate him. Why? Because he's courageous and they're not. He's a mirror. He's a reflection to them of their own cowardice. Right? Go ahead and play that, Spencer. You can do it, Spencer, do it at 1.5, if you will. And I got a lot of stuff I want to get to today. Go ahead.
Christian resistance involves repenting, fighting, and building. And when it comes to fighting, it can be difficult because they are burning our country down so quickly in so many ways, people don't know where to focus or where to act or where to make a strategic move against the evil that they're doing. Many people are actually considering getting the shot. Many already have gotten the shot because they don't want to lose their job. You have to understand, you must be willing to lose your precious little job. You have to stand resolute against getting that shot that through coercion, through carrots, through threats, they've been trying to convince everyone to obtain. Understand, if you capitulate and get that shot, you have set a precedent for the government to dictate to you what you will put in your body the rest of your life. And understand, you're not only setting a precedent for yourself, you have set a precedent for all future generations. You have enslaved them so that the government thinks they can put whatever they want into anyone's body. You must trust the Lord, improvise, and not compromise. I learned long ago that when men give themselves to compromise, their life becomes a series of compromises. Amen. You must stand on principle and in faithfulness to Christ. Women, let your men fight. All my life, I have seen men get involved in confronting an evil, and then their wife comes up and throws a wet blanket over them. I thank God I've been blessed with a wife who cheers me on and prods me to action. There are enough weak, flaccid men in this nation. A good woman understands the duty of men to act in the face of evil and encourages her husband in his duty. Take your children with you when you go out to fight, if you're able to take them in regards to what you're doing. Let them see you confront the tyrants. Let them see you suffer persecution. Let them see you stand faithful to Christ. You must fight against the evil, not acquiesce to it, not attribute it to your latest prophecy charts, and view it all as inevitable.
Amen.
Even though churchmen are suggesting and or are saying outright that you are bound by Romans 13 to get the shot, they are wrong. Romans 13 does not teach any such thing, and understand the government officials have exceeded their biblical and constitutional limits when they demand you wear masks or get this shot. And when it comes to the churches, The churches need to take some lessons from Lexington. Pastor Jonas Clark and his men trained regularly. They saw the evil coming, and so they trained in order to defend their families. The Reformers wrote volumes about the use of arms, their proper use, their illegitimate use. These are something men need to talk about and read about in our day. Men must be men, and the time is upon us where men must train in the use of arms in order to properly be prepared to defend their homes, their wives, their children. We are reaching a time where the use of arms in order to protect our homes, protect our families, is becoming more and more prevalent. Men sense it. It's in the air. Listen, all around the country, people have flooded into county and local government to make a stand for freedom. Why there? Because they see that Washington, D.C. is at war with them, and they've come to realize their state magistrates aren't going to protect them. So they have gathered there in that lawful body of county and local governments in order to make a stand for freedom. This is the doctrine of the lesser magistrate being played out. You must demand interposition of your lesser magistrates and prod them to do it and assure them you will stand resolute with them both publicly and privately if they do what is right and interpose against the evil. But if they don't do their duty, they play the coward, then you must do yours and make sure they are unseated and put good men in those offices of civil authority. There is so much detail to cover when it comes to fighting.
Matt,
we can't do it all.
Spencer, listen, I want to go to something else very, very quickly. Kevin Van Storey, I'm sure, is out there. Kevin, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, okay? So please don't take this the wrong way. You know, Kevin and Chad were going to put on a tactical training event out in Missouri. Well, not enough people signed up for it in order to make it worthwhile for Chad to travel all that distance. So they canceled it. And this is a lesson for everybody out there. Listen to me. Don't ever give the enemy ammunition to use, okay? Because Kevin Van Storey, doing what probably most people would do, sent out an email saying, listen, we had to cancel it because I think he used the term lack of interest or whatever, whatever. In other words, folks, listen, it wasn't a lack of interest. It was poor promotion on our part. People are so hungry for what we are presenting, what Chad is presenting and Bobby and Kevin. People are so hungry for it. But when we sent out the message that it was being canceled for, I think he said lack of interest, whatever it was. Look what's happened here. Pull up. Where is it, man? Spencer, I got two of them down there. It says, yeah, Van Storey's, two of them, one and then the other. Raw story. Look, see how they make us look? Embattled warrior training for Christians canceled for lack of interest in Missouri. Folks, do you think there's a lack of interest in Missouri? I don't think there's a lack of interest. Sorry, don't think there's a lack of interest. But see, we gave them the words to use. Said, see, with their own words, they said, there's a lack of interest. Well, there's not a lack of interest. There's another story also. Pull that one up here from Pathos, I think it is. A planned battle against Satan is canceled due to lack of interest. You see how they do this? You see how they play this thing? So it's not a lack of interest. It's a lack of promotion. We didn't do a good enough job of promoting the thing. And so we have to be careful how we use the words, because the words of our mouth tell a story on all of us. I see, Kevin, you're there in the queue. Come on in here, Kevin. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not making fun of you. This is a lesson for all of us to learn. Come on in, Kevin.
The only thing I said, Coach, was low attendance. I never said lack of interest. And they have twisted that. So
gotcha, man. Gotcha. Low attendance. And it was the reason. But it wasn't because there was a lack of interest, that's for sure, right? Hey, folks, do you understand these guys wouldn't grab this and run with it if they weren't fearful of what was going on? This is the enemy, folks, that is putting these articles out. It's the enemy. So we ought to know.
We have a lot of interest now.
Yeah. Well, thank them for the advertisement, huh? Yeah, so that's what I said. It was a marketing issue. It wasn't a lack of interest. So, Kevin, I wasn't criticizing you, man. I'm trying to make a point. Reggie, come on in.
Well, I'm still promoting, and each day we keep getting people to come in on this battle side of prayer. I want to go back to courage, Coach, if I can.
Sure.
And I made a few notes here, and not saying that we have lack of interest in the men, but the most I've seen with courage is the mama bears out there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a comment because I know there's a lot of moms that send messages and they're suffering. They're suffering, but they're fighters. And I want to encourage those moms with Christ, because a mother's labor and delivery It never ends. It never ends. And we just have to keep focused on breathing through it with Christ on our lips. Because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was crying out in suffering, crying out in abandonment. He felt lonely and abandoned. And so when they pierced him on his side, water and blood issued forth. But the side had meaning to me. He is on our side of suffering. So moms, be encouraged. Cry out, be cry out to Christ, because he is with us in our suffering and he will prevail with us.
Reggie, what if your actions right now prevented somebody's child from being drawn into transgenderism or homosexuality? Would your efforts be worth it, Reggie? Isn't it worth the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune?
Absolutely.
Huh? Why can't we see it this way, friends? Why can't we see it as a rescue mission rather than a protest mission? This is a rescue mission. The devil is doing everything he can. I hate to blame the devil. The dark side is doing everything they can to destroy everything righteous about your children, everything righteous about this nation. And we say we protest against it. The hell are you talking about? We protest against it. We're on a rescue mission. Thanks, Reggie. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, you know how you always say we're winning. There's something going on here, this and that. Last night, this is a good thing. After the Stinsfield show, the show comes on Newsmax after that. Cortez and Pellegrino. This guy was livid last night, and he showed the clip of Barack Obama saying, "It's fake outrage and all this stuff yesterday." This guy said, "Listen to me. It's time for you Christians to stand up." He said, "If you Christians don't stand up, you're cowards." He was just hammering it last night. It was good.
Well, we are cowards. We are cowards. We won't stand up and oppose it. Come on in, Glenn and Joe.
Yeah, Coach.
Hang on a second, Glenn. Hey, Spencer, get that Jim Caviezel thing to the 13-minute mark. Get that ready. Go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, So JR and I show up last night at the Westerville school board meeting. And of course, they canceled it last time we were there because most of us weren't wearing a mask, but they were prepared this time. They had a big sign outside. No one's entered without a mask. The meeting is up in the second floor of the building. So right away, as soon as we enter the building, they confronted us, a police officer and a big staff guy, and he says, "I'm sorry, you can't come in without a mask." And the police officer says, "I'm not for the mask either, but I'm not going to, if you don't leave the building right now, we're going to arrest you. And we're not going to arrest you for not wearing a mask. We're going to arrest you for trespassing."
Oh, my goodness, huh?
So we never even got, as far as this, we just only got inside the front door. We never got even to the second floor where the meeting is held.
So trespassing on a public building you pay for.
Yep. So if I get arrested, I thought for a second, should I just get arrested? But where does that leave us?
So let's take 100 people next time and all get arrested.
The apathy you can cut with a knife. There's just not enough people, not enough interested people showing up.
Amen. We have to do something about that. Thank you for showing up, Glenn. You and JR and all those guys who are doing it. Joe Allen, come on in.
So I think what we're lacking is anger for courage. Do we know how to use our anger to provoke courage?
Joe, you're not allowed to be angry. If you're a Christian, you're not allowed to be angry, Joe.
There's a case in Florida that's starting to come out there with parents that have a special need daughter going to school, and the whole time at school, the school has been putting a mask on this special needs child with nylon rope tied around her head.
I saw it, man. I saw it.
And it's coming out. Where's our anger?
Where's our righteous anger? Anyway, I'm running around in circles here. Not trying to, but I am. I got some stuff I want to get to. Hang on. Go ahead. I'll let Tony in, then hang on. Go ahead, Tony. Tell us the story.
I just wanted to mention one thing, and going straight to the Bible with Gideon in Judges 6 36 and 37, where, of course, we're preying upon a major event that we're proposing to undertake for God, but to put the fleece out, perhaps, to make sure that it's His will, His time, His plan, and His purpose, to know that you know that you know it's going to be successful and it's ordained by Him.
Do you know what, Tony? Listen to God bless you. Thanks. I know this. I obey. I don't worry about whether I'm going to get rewarded for what I do. I go, because to obey is better than to sacrifice. And if I sit all on a football field, I don't care if a guy breaks my instructions, if he tackles the guy with the damn ball. You know what I'm talking about? So we have to be in the will of God. I understand all that. But in my opinion, the will of God is to hate evil, to oppose evil. And I have to, sometimes if I have to move before I heard the command to go, the Lord has the ability to stop me as well as continue to propel me. And I think we get paralyzed sitting around waiting to hear from the Lord. The Bible says, for you to know to do good and you not to do it, to you it is sin. And I don't need to hear from the Lord to know that the daggone teaching of homosexuality and transgenderism to our children is wrong. I need to go do something about it.
Amen, Coach.
I got a tape up here of Jim Caviezel. I got a lot of you want to get in. I've got to show you this. Jim Caviezel was speaking at this event that Ohio Brett's there, actually, in Pennsylvania. This is a fabulous 15-minute speech, but I just want you to hear about the last. Jim, he played the Passion of the Christ, right? He and Mel Gibson are making another Christian movie called The Witness. I can't remember exactly what it is. They're trying to raise money to do it. But I want you to listen to Jim Caviezel in this 5-minute clip, because he ain't just listen to it. Go ahead.
He'd rather live on his knees with his mask on than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Normal speech, don't you?
You and I know it and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, well, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy, or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our beloved dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, did not die in vain. Where then lies the road to peace, you say? Well, it's a simple answer after all. That you and I have the courage to tell our enemies there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which evil must not advance. And this goes for our beautiful, beloved Constitution as well. Just barely hanging in there by a lifeline. Do we even believe in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? You know, there's no coincidence why it's in that order. Because without your life, you have no liberty. And without your life, you have no happiness. That all men are created equal, ladies and gentlemen, not born equal. Winston Churchill said that the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move throughout the world, we learn we are spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. My fellow Americans, you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. Yeah. Yeah. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, We'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. We're at war now with the most dangerous enemy that has ever faced mankind in his long climb from the swamp to the stars. And it's been said if we lose this war, and in so doing lose this great way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those of us that had the most to lose did the least to prevent it from happening. Well, I think it's high time now we ask ourselves if we still even know the freedoms that were intended for us by our founding fathers. Every generation of Americans needs to know that freedom exists not to do what you like, but having the right to do what you ought. My fellow Christian warriors, set yourselves apart from this corrupt generation. Be saints. We weren't made to fit in. We were born to stand out. And that is the freedom that I wish for you. Freedom from sin. Freedom from our weaknesses. Freedom from the slavery that sin makes out of all of us. That is the freedom that is worth dying for. Kind of reminds me of the words that Mel Gibson first intoned in his Academy Award-winning film Braveheart, when he said to his ragtag army, and I say to you tonight, I see before me a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do without freedom? Will you fight? This man says no, we'll run and we'll live. Yep, fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. For at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you have been willing to trade all the years from this day to that for one chance? Just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that you can take our lives. You can never take our freedom. Every man dies. Not every man truly lives. You. We must fight for that authentic freedom and live, my friends. By God, we must live. And with the Holy Spirit as your shield and Christ as your sword, may you join Saint Michael and all the angels in defending God and sending Lucifer and his henchmen straight right back to hell where they belong. We are headed into the storm of all storms. Yes, the storm is upon us.
Amen.
That's the truth. Come on in, Larry and Joe.
Yeah, going back to what happened with Jim at the meeting where they escorted him out and told him they'd be arresting him for trespassing. I think he said the sign said you may not enter without a mask. Well, put the mask on, go inside, and then take this stinking thing off.
Yeah. Words mean things. Joe?
Thanks, Coach. You're so spot on today. When I woke up this morning, I had a feeling I hadn't felt. I was filled with righteous indignation and anger. I was filled with it. It's coming back up now. And I had watched something after Warfare last night, when everybody else is asleep, I watched something, a catch-up thing, and I saw a Chinese leader in the CCP, the text, a translated text that he's giving a speech talking about, well, everybody who's vaccinated is dead. And they have an antidote to save those from being infected from the vaccinated that they will let out at some point in time to those they want to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically talking about how I think that's what gave me the indignation this morning, that soulless, spineless little lizard guy. I mean, reptilian evil, cold-hearted, soulless. And we're most of the people, not people here, but everybody else is pretty much asleep.
Amen.
But this feeling I had this morning and what you put on the table shows me that we are on a path that is endorsed.
By the Lord, brother, it's endorsed by the Lord. Let me make an example. Give you a quick example. Then Michelle, then Gene, we'll get rolling over here. I saw that they're mad at Fauci now because evidently Fauci did experiments on dogs. Yeah, you guys all saw that. I'm sorry if you haven't seen it, but evidently Fauci did an experiment where he put dogs' heads into a glass thing and their paws into a glass thing. And then they released ants that ate the dogs up, if you can imagine that. And the outrage on the internet over what they did to those puppies is unbelievable. Hey, folks, they're using freaking unborn babies. We don't have any outrage. But they're upset about puppies. That's where we are in America. Come on in, Michelle.
Hi, Coach. Sorry, I'm having problems with my internet. Firstly, I want to know, why do Christians love the world so much? I thought the entire point of the gospel is that where he is, so we may be also. And then the world hates us. So the world we see today is just a repercussion of what the world is. It's just showing its true colors. And they do not want us around. If they got their way, we would be dead. We would not be having these discussions about this. And then my third thing in life, liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Where is God and where is Christ?
It's a conflict of two kingdoms, friends. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of his dear son. It ain't about you and me. We're soldiers in this war. Gene, come on in.
Yes, I was going to go back to this trespass thing. A lawyer by the name of Jeff Childers always sends an email, and he's stating, when you're being accused of trespassing, you need to ask the officer who owns the building. Mm. Because the only one that can complain about trespassing is the owner of the building. And it doesn't mean who's inside the building.
Good point. That's good. Good.
And then ask the police officer with his oath of office, who did he promise to protect? The elected official, are we the people?
Amen, brother. They don't even care about the oath anymore, Gene. You're right, though. You're right. Southern Mofo, come on in there, Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Coach. And I'd say it's a point I would go along with the righteous indignation. And I would take it a step further. When the godly sorrow reaches us all, that's when we'll hit our repentance and that's when we'll get angry. And I don't think it's going to come till the godly sorrow is flowing.
Well, Craig, there's a rude awakening coming before the great awakening. There's going to be some godly sorrow coming, brother. I can promise you that. I got a verse to share with you this morning. Thanks, Craig. Leslie, come on in.
Good morning. I was reading in 1 Corinthians today, and it says that God uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Yes, well, I think we just think too much of ourselves. And Jesus considered himself of no reputation, and we shouldn't either.
We're those foolish things, huh, Leslie? We're those foolish things.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen. Good word. Amen. Jack, come on in. Then Spencer, pull up the third one, Christianity.com. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Come on in, Jack.
Okay, number one, the oath that officers take is not to the people. They take an oath to defend the constitutions, and so we can't have them defending your ideas or my ideas. Stick with the law, only the law, nothing else, the lady. Just give me the law, just the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. Coach, as you were talking about this idea that what Fauci's being accused of and the international uproar about the dogs, why don't we have some of these legislators that are always in a big hurry to put in some new bill, why don't we have them put in a bill that would block all animal euthanasia at any facility other than Planned Parenthood, where it can be done humanely?
Well, Jack, that would get to it, wouldn't it? That really is the point. Isn't it? We're more worried about.
We don't fight fire with fire. We don't round on them. We have a legislator here in Maine. There's a bill that's actually got onto a constitutional amendment that's going to be on the ballot to guarantee our right to grow food.
What
in the world is he thinking? That means any other right that's not a constitutional amendment is null and void, you moron.
They don't get it, Jack. We know they don't get See? It. Hey, let's go to Spencer. I told you the wrong thing. Let's go to Jeremiah 18. Silver in here today? In here, Silver? It caught him off guard.
I'm here.
Jeremiah 18's up on the screen today, Silver. My wife gave me this morning. I want to do these, then I want to do a couple imprecatory psalms. I pray you guys are still praying those. Still praying those imprecatory psalms. Spencer, I'm sorry. Joe, go ahead if you will and just read. Can I tell you this? I'm so sick of the NIV and the American Standard. I'm so sick of those sissy Bibles. I'm so sick of them.
Amen, Coach.
Thanks, man. Go ahead. They say, well, they're easier to understand. Easier to understand? What do you mean? You got what, the second grade? What? Easier to understand. Go ahead, Joe. Jeremiah 18.
The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels.
Hmm.
And the vessel that he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter?
Can I not remake you, reform you? Go ahead, Joe.
Saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel.
O Christians.
At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I was thought to do unto them.
Mm.
At that, and at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now, therefore, go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you.
Stay there, Joe. What will he do?
Frame evil against you.
He's going to frame evil against you. Yep.
And devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do to the imagination of his evil heart.
Joe, there's no hope. There's just no hope, so we're just going to continue to do whatever we want to do.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity.
Wow.
And they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up, to make their land desolate, and a perpetual hissing. Everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and wag his head. I will scatter them as with an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity.
Mm.
Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words.
Yeah, don't want to be listening to Jeremiah, who's trying to bring correction and direction, which, by the way, is the job of the prophet. They said, let's shut that guy up.
Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away the wrath, thy wrath, from them. Therefore deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword. Let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle.
This is his people, folks.
Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. For they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger.
You get this picture here, don't you, folks? Jeremiah is calling damnation down upon those who claim to be children of God and are not. They're chasing after other gods. But he says, as we know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people called by my name, do we see any form of repentance at all in America? Any form at all? Do we see any of the, what do we call it? Matt Twella calls it the churchmen calling out for righteousness in our land and in our government and in our school. Do we see that anywhere? We don't see that. We don't see that at all. I want to get to the Psalms. Craig, come in quickly. Craig, Larry, and Alan, then I want to get to the Psalms. Go ahead.
Coach, it sounds a little bit like the kings of the world conspiring against God and his anointed, doesn't it?
It sure does. And Jeremiah's barking back at him. They want to get rid of him. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, well, Jeremiah, he's saying it like God gave it to him to write down. And, you know, and we've got so many of these love-only gospel Christians. And, oh, we've got to pray for those that are working against us. We got to pray them into the kingdom. Well, yep. You know, if Jesus didn't pray for them, and that's found in John 17:9, if Jesus didn't pray for them, then why the hell do you think you're more powerful than Jesus and you're going to pray for them?
Jesus said, I pray not for the world. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, you said, is there any repentance going on? Let me tell you something, brother. I've been hammering this thing. Every freaking church that shut down for COVID or trunk or treating it this weekend, Coach. They're going to trunk or treat for Satan, and they shut the door for Satan. So you figure that thing out right there.
We know where that one's going, right? Huh? We adopt the devil's holidays. Imprecatory Psalm. Excuse me, they turned off my cough button because it shuts down the system for some reason. So I'll be hacking in your ear again. Psalm 69 and 70 today. Did anybody out there have Psalm 69? Said, Coach, I got it,
Coach, but okay. I need to pull over here. Give me about a minute if you can.
Okay, Clay. I don't want you having any wreck.
I have 70. Okay, I have great. 70, but I'm driving and I can't pull over.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right, Melissa. Thank you. Anybody else have Psalm 70? We'll get it lined up here. Clay, whenever you're ready, brother.
I can do 70. I've been doing it every night. So.
Okay, Joe can do 70. Go ahead. Hey, Joe, you go now while Clay's getting pulled over. Go ahead, Psalm 70. Can we get there first, Spencer? This is a prayer, Lord, folks. Be in the attitude of prayer here. The prayer of Psalms. Go ahead, Joe.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame that day. Let them that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God,
that thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying.
Hurry up, Lord. We need a hurry, Lord. No tarrying. Oh, get here, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you. Thank you, Joe. Clay, you're up 69.
All right. Can you hear me?
We do, brother.
All right. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. Mm-hmm. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not then that wait on thee, O Lord, God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake.
Mm.
Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face.
Yes, Lord, it has.
I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children.
Mm.
For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me.
Amen.
When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate spake against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me.
Yes.
And out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me.
Amen.
Hear me, Lord. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good, turning to me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. And hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before me. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none.
Amen. Amen.
They gave me also gall for my meat.
Mm.
And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them. And that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap.
Yes, Lord.
Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come unto thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners.
Amen.
Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.